think, and yet he could keep that commonness. That's not an easy thing.
Illinois Public Media's Amanda Hunnickford talked with actor Fritz Klein about his career portraying Abraham Lincoln. You can see a photo of Fritz Klein in his full Lincoln gear on our website at willnews.org. This is Morning Edition on WYLL. I'm Jim Meadows.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Kellogg's today says that it has lowered its long-term growth targets as the cereal maker swung to a loss for the fourth quarter. Kellogg says it now projects long-term annual revenue growth of 1-3% compared with its previous view of 3-4%. Kellogg reported a fourth quarter loss of $293 million, or 82 cents a share. Net sales edged up 0.3% to $3.51 billion. This morning, USDA reported its export sales report for the week ending February 5th. The numbers look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 15.0. Next year, 0.3. Corn this year, 39.5. Next year, 4.6. Soybeans this year, 27.4. The Republican-controlled Congress approved a bill yesterday to construct the Keystone XL oil pipeline, setting up a confrontation with President Barack Obama, who has threatened to veto the measure. The House voted 270 to 152 to send the bill to the president, endorsing changes along the way made by the Senate that stated climate change was real and not a hoax. But neither chamber, as of the moment, has enough support to overcome a presidential veto. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, trading 17,872, was up 42 points. The NASDAQ, 4321, up 24. The S&P 500 is 2,080. It's up 12 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, Dave. It looks like we've got a bunch of winter weather in front of us. Not exactly balmy out there this morning. We have a little light snow occurring from southern portions of Illinois into parts of central and northern Indiana. We also have some light snow occurring in Ohio and parts of Kentucky. And all this snow is going to be important because we are going to get fairly cold across the region. Fairly is probably the wrong word. It's going to be bitterly cold. Let's just face the facts here. As we move forward through this the late weekend and through most of next week, temperatures will be even colder than they are right now. Temperatures out there this morning running mostly in the positive single digits and teens through a big part of the Midwest. The snow and cloud cover in the lower and eastern parts of the region is keeping those temperatures up. There's actually some 20-degree temperatures in parts of southern Ohio, down into southern Indiana and southern Illinois into Kentucky. The winds are northerly, though. That's never a good sign. It means the temperatures are going to continue to cool down. We saw a lot of temperatures way below zero this morning in the upper parts of the Midwest. And as we go forward through the day today, the temperatures aren't going to warm very well. We'll be in the teens and 20s across a big part of the Midwest. And tomorrow we will be warmer. Tomorrow will be one of the better days. If you've got to do something outside, that's probably the day to do it. We'll look for the temperatures on Saturday maybe to be a little bit warmer as well, but that's going to be the end of the road here. Tomorrow we'll look for highs 20s and 30s in the northern parts of the Midwest, and 30s and 40s, maybe a couple of temperatures up around 50, but you have to go clear out to southwestern Missouri or eastern Kansas to get to that point. The temperatures on Saturday afternoon will start turning much colder in the upper parts of the Midwest again. Even northern Illinois will see some temperatures that will be falling during the day. And the southern parts of the Midwest, though, will still see 30 and 40-degree temperatures with a couple of extremes, maybe up close to 50. But that is the end of the road. Temperatures on Sunday morning are going to be very cold across the Midwest once again. We'll likely see the temperatures dropping down near and possibly below zero in most of the snow-covered areas from Iowa into parts of northern Ohio. And areas to the south that may have some snow still on the ground at that point in time, we'll probably see temperatures in the positive single-digit readings. We may see a couple of zero-degree temperatures occurring randomly across the region. Don't think it's going to be quite cold enough to cause a serious issue for the unprotected winter wheat out there, but we will be watching the situation rather closely. And as we move into the early part of next week, we'll be facing a change in the sense of a major winter storm bearing down on parts of the lower Midwest, as well as the Delta and the southeastern states. Even the Atlantic coast region will likely be involved with this. The storm is actually going to be evolving as warm air tries to flow northward out of the Gulf of Mexico and into the cold air mass that will be present across the region. And that's never a good formula for staying dry. It's actually going to promote a winter storm, and we'll likely see it begin in the southern plains on Monday as a very innocent-looking little event with a wintry mix of precipitation types taking place. But as we move on into the Tuesday-Wednesday time period, the storm system will become much more significant. We'll likely see widespread rain and snow occurring across the southeastern one-third of the country. A wintry mix of precipitation types may occur in the lower Midwest. At this point, it's a little difficult to say exactly where the rain-snow-sleet line is going to be, but I would say the odds are fairly high that we'll see widespread snow coming out of Missouri and going to Ohio with the freezing rain and sleet and snow mix occurring near the Ohio River. But a lot can change in these next few days. We'll watch that rather closely. Down South America, everything is about as it has been. There will be some new heavy rain occurring from Mato Grosso do Sul into parts of Paraná over the next several days, and we'll end up with some flood potentials in Paraná, some delays in field work there. Both the harvest and the planting processes will be slowed in that area, but that's the only problem area that I see for Brazil right now. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Time is running out to get your tickets for the 2015 All-Day Ag Outlook meeting. It's set for March 10th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Our analysts will discuss the day's news, a fresh WASDE report for corn, soybeans, and cash grain, and whatever else you want to talk about. Sue Martin will deliver a keynote. Murray Wise will give us his projections for land values. And Chris Hurt will take us through his livestock projections. Cost for the meeting is $25 and includes a continental breakfast and Beef House lunch. Get your tickets by calling 217-333-7300 or online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter, March wheat, 555 and three quarters, down 3.5. Soft March, 522.5, down 3.25. March corn, 385, down 3/4. July, $4.25, down 1. December, 414.75, down 1/2. March soybeans, 979, up 1.25. July, 986.5, up 3/4. November, 960, up 1/4. March soybean meal, 329.20, down 40. March soybean oil, 31.83, up 8 cents. February live cattle, 159.05, up 45. March feeders, 199.67.5, up 92.5. February lean hogs, 61.57.5, they're up 35. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of Ag Review. She is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Morning, Dave.
Very quiet out there today.
Yeah, it really is. You know, we had export bookings report this morning, and people may want to talk about good exports for corn, although the market reaction hasn't been all that positive. We also had another big week of milo sales, most of that to China. March corn still sits with nickel to go before looking at the early week highs at 392, so it'll be interesting to see. We may be making a real small little head and shoulders bottom formation in the corn. I think that chart works. Chart's worth looking at.
And the soybeans?
Beans just repeatedly fail to close above the 20-day moving averages. And right now we are above it at 979. We're above that, so it'll be interesting to see whether we can hold above that. I noticed that Rosario Grain Exchange upped their bean estimate projection for their crop, a big 3.5 million metric tons. That's really a big jump for this particular unit, up to 58 million metric tons. That's 2 million more than what USDA just increased theirs to.
What do we make of how thus far in the month, and we're now about halfway through, the average prices for February and their impact on planning decisions and insurance decisions?
Well, they're decidedly lower than they were a year ago, and I think the trades got that figured in. I don't think it affects the planning decisions any more than it did a month ago. And a month ago, I think guys were reevaluating how much corn they were going to plant just because of the lower input costs on the beans. I noticed that the nitrogen prices really jumped for spring applications, and that may color some thinking on getting these corn acres in.
Turn your attention to livestock.
Dave, this has been a really wild week in the livestock. It seems like every day we get some talk about higher cash in the cattle. We have a good morning, and then somebody comes in and just pulls the plug. The packers are fairly short-bought, and we are seeing some movement of feeder cattle off wheat pasture and into feedlots. But, boy, the stoppage at the West Coast ports and the export market has been a big bugaboo, and I think this has become a darling trade to buy early and sell late in the day this week.
Thank you much, Alan. That's Alan Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. March corn, 383.5 down 2.25. July, 399.25 down 2. December, 414 down 1.25. March beans, 976 down 1.75. November, 957.75 down 2. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 M and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana. It's now 9:01 Central Time.